what I see when it comes to milk quality and animal welfare is when we've lost our footing and we've started to focus so much on profit, and whether that's because of the banker, because of whatever, the processor, we lose sight of the other. And then we start just going for maximizing profit. That means we start compromising on quality and welfare, and they're so tied together. So a lot of the things that we do to maximize efficiency and profit in the parlor really have a negative impact on quality. And most of that is because of welfare, to be honest.
Welcome to the Dairy Health Black Belt Podcast, the latest dairy health research digested for you. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Steel, ventilation, cow cooling, cow-centric design, engineered in Canada by InBarn Solutions.
Welcome to the Dairy Health Black Belt Podcast, brought to you by Wisenetics. I'm Dr. Luciano Cascetta, and I've come to you with this podcast that's dedicated to bring the latest insights and discussion in the dairy industry. Get ready to expand your knowledge and stay ahead with us with today's episode. And today I have the pleasure to host Dr. Jennifer Walker, who is co-founder and chief animal welfare officer of the Kinda Ground. And we have like very nice discussion with her. And thank you for being the podcast with us today.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, no, it's very nice to have you here. And many of our listeners already know you from different podcasts, and you are a name that many of us know in the dairy industry. And we know about your work with the Kinder Group, Kinder Ground. I keep saying group, but it's Kinder Ground.
That's all right. Just makes you say it more. That's good.
Exactly. And there's like a lot of good things that we hear about it. And one thing that I would like to touch base with you today, because it connects a lot of dots from people on the field, and some people cannot make those connections by themselves. So it's nice for us to talk about it. But what are some of the challenges you are seeing on farms when it comes to animal welfare? And how is that related to milk quality?
Yeah, I think it's a really good question. And I think... you know, in the basics, everything we do on a dairy farm is related to milk quality. And that's how I've always seen it. You know, I come to animal welfare from a milk quality background. Part of my job has always been to manage quality and food safety. And then animal welfare ties into that. We really can't have one without the other, to be honest. And so a lot of those challenges, I think, stem fundamentally from the challenges of managing a business, right? So I think we can be fair. Farms are businesses. They're there to make money. And it's trying to strike that balance of, I think traditionally, historically, we felt we'd like to think that we've always been finding a balance, optimizing welfare, optimizing quality, optimizing profit. It's fair, right? And I think what I see when it comes to milk quality and animal welfare is when we've lost our footing and we've started to focus so much on profit, and whether that's because of the banker, because of whatever, the processor, we lose sight of the other. And then we start just going for maximizing profit. That means we start compromising on quality and welfare, and they're so tied together. So a lot of the things that we do to maximize efficiency and profit in the parlor really have a negative impact on quality, and most of that is because of welfare, to be honest.
Wisenetics turns podcast airtime into brand authority. We don't sell ads, we elevate voices. If you're ready to boost your authority in the industry, access wisenetics.com and speak with a brand authority specialist. Let's transform expertise into influence, starting now.
That's very nice. And I like the you use it's a subtle difference that I use in conversations, and I just want to point out, like you started to say, like we optimizing welfare, optimizing meal production, optimizing profitability, and then you transition, you lose sight, and then you go maximizing. And we see that like I say it's subtle, because optimizing, sometimes people use optimizing and maximizing interchangeably, and they're not, right? Like they lead to different activities and different approaches at the farm. I think that's really nice when you point that out.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's critically important. And you're right. I think we forget and or we don't realize sort of mission creep. and we focus so much on one thing. And in some ways, it's some people's nature. So, you know, I look at different farms and why we do what we do. And every farm is its own personality. And so they have different drivers. And sometimes that driver is a very, very competitive spirit. And why they want to maximize parlor throughput, I do not know. But if I say it once, I mean, again, if there's one thing we should not ever hurry, it is milking cows. Moving and milking cows are two M's of cows. We do not rush. We do not rush.
And those are things that people try to, right? Like that's what you see.
We do. And I'm just as guilty. Like if I look back in my early career on farm, I have to apologize to all the cows where I helped and designed and helped organize milking routines that did not allow for patience, that did not allow for our milkers. So I have to apologize to the cows and milkers, I guess. I didn't allow our milkers to do their level best. I didn't allow the cows to have the best hope for doing their level best. Because we were focused on efficiency and, you know, making the use of every minute. And that didn't serve the cows well, and it didn't serve the milkers well. And I don't think in the end it serves the business well. In the short term, I think we all think it does. In the long term, I think it's not a win.
Yeah, and then, ties in that we see a lot of conversations on longevity and resilience of those cows, and that might be playing a role into this. But in the interest of time, because we usually try to make this short, and if we go into the longevity and like resiliency discussion, that's like probably like a podcast on its own. But you mentioned something about efficiency, and one thing that I've seen in some farms on the parlor throughput is some people are foregoing horse stripping. Like that's one of the things, like, I'll deal with my bimodals or whatever, and like I'll just deal with it. So why does it matter? Like, can you like bring that to this discussion to people?
There was a great, I'll give a shout out to the NMC, and they did a great meeting this last year on that, and that had a lot to do with this, because the whole idea was we do what's best for the cow, right? And so when I think of not force stripping, it's, to me, it's our best example of how we kind of go off track about doing what's best for her and optimizing. So we stop force stripping. Why? To save time. It's more efficient. And yet we listened to solid 3 or 4, or maybe it was an all days, 8 hours of science and evidence of how bad it is for the cow and for milk quality and everything else, how bad it is. And yet we're like, oh, but we're going to do it anyway. And that just makes it hard to again, I guess if you're going to rationalize it and say it's what's better for the business and it's what maximizes efficiency and it's what maximizes my profit, then that is fair. It's a business decision. But then I think we need to be honest and say, then we're not doing what's best for the cow. And that's where I think there's this part of, there's a moral, you know, where my moral compass is kind of guiding me and that moral clarity and integrity of the messaging to say, like, we've always said we do what's best for the cow. And it's why people trust farmers, and it's why people have trust in veterinarians, and it's why people trust the food supply, frankly. You know, most people don't question when they go to the grocery store if their food is safe and the quality is good. It may not be superior, depending, but it's good and it's safe. And that depends on us doing all those things that we say we do. And then if we start cutting corners, essentially, it's not good for anybody. It's not good for the cow. We know that. Again, we have plenty of science to show that. And I think that's where it really sits at this intersection. And I think it's probably the best example of something that we should kind of hold up and reflect on and use as a mirror to say, like, are we meeting the moment? Are we doing our level best for the cow and for us, right? And again, it's that balance. And I think perfect example of how we've kind of forgot and kind of abandoned optimization, and we've kind of leaned in hard on maximizing.
So, and that's interesting. And I know you have a lot of work with the trainings and visiting with some of those groups. Is there any like message that resonate more with them on what, like, let's talk about this topic on like the foregoing forest ripping and all that. Is there something that's successful in like transmitting that message to producers?
Oh, I wish. Then that would be the yeah. I wish. And that, I think you bring up a good point in that everything we do on farm and for welfare in particular, it's such an individual conversation, and it takes time to work with farmers to know, like, what is it that pulls that, you know? And I do find that we can get there, but those take some honest and open conversations, and then mm-hmm. that takes trust. Like, fundamentally, that takes trust. So you could sit with somebody and have some honest, challenging conversations. And I've gotten there with some farms, and I haven't gotten there with others. Like, so maybe I'm not the right person, right? But I think it's hard to say like one thing, and it's because it's understanding who you're having that conversation with and really what motivates them. Because is that really competitive farmer? Well, let's see what he wants to be competitive as, or is it the one who, you know, again, I don't know the background. Maybe there is some sort of debt that's going on that's forcing their hand in a way that they're not even comfortable with. Maybe he doesn't even like the fact, he or she doesn't even like the fact that, and they feel forced, right? So I think part of it's being willing to sit with that and try to unpack it and make sure we understand the whole picture, not making assumptions and really trying to understand that. It's easy, you know, I kind of get flippant about it sometimes, and I will say it's all ego, or, you know, somebody's really competitive. And there is a lot of that, I'm not going to lie, but I think it's to be fair to everybody to sit with that and figure out like why, and then how can we try to move that ball forward and kind of just right the ship again. If we can, we're not always going to win. We're not always going to meet in that optimization mode again, but we could try.
No, that's interesting. And I feel like it could be like the way I think about it, right? Like there's so many things that they're juggling, all those farmers, like everybody that's involved, right? Like maybe they just even like didn't have the time to really think about this before. Right. Yeah. And like when you come to it, like, this is a little piece of their day that we're trying them to focus. And like, maybe if they have time, they'll have like a different perspective, but they don't.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's so hard. Our records are so poor in general to capture the impact. I think that's hard too. It's hard to capture really what it's doing. So it's invisible. It's an invisible tax. It's sort of like overstocking. Everybody thinks they could do it. Mm-hmm. But so there's this invisible tax of not forest ripping, the invisible tax of overstocking, an invisible task of not feeding your calves enough, like all of that. Right. And that's why it's so hard. And so I think it is to find a way to have them understand that and see that for what it is important. And that, I think that's the challenge, because it's an easy one to kind of brush off, like, eh, it's just forced stripping.
Exactly. Yeah. It's something you're going to see only later. Well, thank you for this, spending this time with us. Like, for the interest of time, I'll cut us here today, because we're coming up to time. But like, I'm glad that we could have you here. It was a very nice conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
This concludes another episode of the Dairy Health Black Belt Podcast, presented to you by Wisenetics. Thanks for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast to stay updated on future episodes. And if you have any updates or any feedback on topics that we would like to hear from us, send us a note, leave us a message, leave us a review, because your feedback is very important for us. Till next time, this is the Dairy Health Black Belt Podcast. I'm Dr. Luciano Cacheta, and I'll see you next time. Thank you.